So, church, anybody ever
have the wake-up morning where you forget a little of this, you wake up a little late, you're running out the door, and then you get out the door and you realize all the things that you had forgotten and all the things that you should have done? Today was one of those days for me. I've been working on this sermon off and on for a couple weeks. Over time, I'd had several sermons prepared, but none of those were what God wanted today. So at the beginning of the week, I started all over, and I went from scratch, as I was digging through Scripture, I was talking with the elders this morning, I'd actually started to see things that I hadn't seen before in stories that I had read hundreds of times from my youth all the way up till now. And so God did for me what He normally does when I do devotions. He gives me about 90-95%. I come in, I do praise team, we get everything dialed in, and then about 2 minutes after we're done practicing, He gives me the rest. And so, needless to say, He did that for me this morning, even though I forgot my belt. I forgot that I had bedhead when I went out of the house. And when I ran out of the house in a blatant hurry, and I looked around and I didn't see my car because homecoming was last night, and I realized I was going to be driving my son's jalopy here at about 50 miles an hour, I went, okay, it's going to be a great day. So, and it has been so far. Let me scoot this away. I do have a big voice. Did you start? All right. So what I'm going to do today, is Children's Day. As you can tell, the kids have done a wonderful job, and if we could, I'd like to give them a round of applause because they've already stepped up this morning. They've helped with music. We had a guest piano player over here this morning on a couple of our songs this morning. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at some well-known biblical figures. And since it's Children's Sunday, I've decided to take a look at their childhood. Not necessarily what they had done as they'd grown up, but the challenges that they faced growing up. And my goal is simple. It's to inspire our youth with the knowledge that no matter what their size is, that God has a big plan for them. So first thing I need to do is pray us in this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, once again, I thank You for the gift of children. I thank You for the awesome responsibility to be mentors and guiders of our children as we help to develop their faith and to grow in You, to grow Your kingdom here on earth, to grow in things that please You on a daily basis. Please help us, guide us, and protect us as we move forward. Please help the words that come out of my mouth today be the ones that are here to glorify You, to be Your message, and I pray for receptive hearts and ears. And may Your presence walk with everybody as they depart the building today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I've got a little something for the big kids and for the little kids in attendance. So I'm kind of going to start with how the world tends to view our children today, whether it's our children or somebody else's children. A child's voice or opinion in the community normally won't carry the same weight as an adult's opinion, or if an adult has a remark about something, we're going to give the adult and what they have to say preference over what the child may say. And what I really mean by this is that the world does not take a child's viewpoint as wisdom. Now, we learn that we should not hinder our children, but we should actually encourage them to go to God. And if you would, turn with me to Matthew. This is going to be chapter 19. And it's going to be 13 through 14. Now, at this point, Jesus and the disciples were in Judea. And they were doing as they normally done. He was preaching and he was teaching and they were working miracles. So they were settled in Judea at the time. And it says, at that point, the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And that kind of gives us an insight that, and when I say the world, I say the non-God-believing world today will disregard the value of the children. They will not give them the same place that they do to us grown-ups. But God clearly has a different viewpoint and He has a different value on our children. As children, now can all you kids raise your hands? There's going to be a few places today that I'm going to ask a few questions, and I might have the kids raise their hands. Now, if you want to raise your hand and you have an answer and you want to say it out loud, great. If not, you can peck on an older child beside you and have them raise their hand and ask them to speak for you. Either way, if you want to get an answer out there, we absolutely want that today. But as children, we tend to see things as right and wrong. And it's only over time that we're taught to look for the exceptions in every single rule. For example, when Moses came down off of the mount, he came down with 10 commandments. But the people kept asking for clarification on this situation and that situation until we see that the law of Moses itself actually had hundreds and hundreds of entries. But yet, and here you go, kids. If I looked out at you kids today and I said, hey, guys, I just found out that eating crayons can make us very, very sick. Should we keep eating them? Any answers? What's your answer?
No.
Your answer?
No.
Anybody else? Your answer?
No.
No. So I got three no's. It's pretty unanimous that we have figured out that if eating crayons was bad for you, we just simply should not do it. Now, the funny thing is here is that not one child asked what color of crayon it was, what brand of crayon it was, how old were the crayons, were they fresh, did they just come from the factory. It was a simple black or white. God gives us this representation in our sins. It's a sin or it's not. So there's something that we can learn for the children in simple decision-making processes that it's either good or it's bad. And if it's bad, we don't do it, right? All right. So I'm going to share a brief little story, how I got to act as a child of God. And this doesn't really fall in line, but God put it on my heart. And this kind of shows how God is always with you guys as children and how he's always keeping watch over you. I told this story a long time ago. I was walking down through downtown Mount Gilead, and there was an elderly lady on a walker crossing to the south side of the street. She was going to the senior citizen building. This lady was probably in her 90s. She had a walker, had the tennis balls on the bottom of the feet, and she was cruising along, and she got out into the crosswalk, and she was halfway across there by the monument at the traffic circle, and the lights turned. None of the drivers gave her the respect to let her pass. Cars started coming both directions, all four directions. They started coming around. And she had become disoriented at that point in time because she was literally stuck right in the middle of the crosswalk with cars going both ways. And it was one of those instant action moments where God just said, go. I was already standing on the street, by the street corner, about 15 foot back. So I walked out into traffic and I started putting my hands out. I started flagging down traffic and I stopped. And it just so happened Officer Cronowit was coming up from the south side of town. And when he saw what I was doing and why I was doing it, he instantly flipped on his lights. And we stopped all traffic. So one action led to another. And I got to act as a child who was able to help one of my elders, who was also a fellow child of God. And so I walked this young lady all the way down to the senior citizen, which is another block down and around the corner. And as I got her there safely, a few of the other people came out and they helped her in because she was pretty tired by the time. I don't know how far she had walked, but she was tired at that point. And so as I was walking back uptown, I crossed over the street and I'm coming back up the street towards the monument. And there's a young mother and she's carrying a baby wrapped in pink, beautiful young little daughter, infant over her shoulder. And I had that feeling of joy because I saw a situation and God encouraged me to act and I acted in a godly way. And at that point in time, I watched this little baby girl just lift her head up and she gave me a soft smile and a little wink and she laid her head back down. And at that moment in time, I knew that not only God had inspired and directed me to do something for the benefit of another child of God, but I also knew that he was paying attention and he was willing to share with me that he's always paying attention and he's always willing to let you know that he's there and he's living with you in his daily, in your daily life. But I'm going to dive into the youth of some of our young biblical figures. Show of hands, kids, who's heard of Moses? Anybody heard of Moses? All right, so I've got a few hands up. Can any of you tell me something about Moses? What he did in his life? Anybody? Still got the hands up? Anybody brave? Your hand was up. What can you tell me about Moses? Anything he did that we read about? You don't remember? Anybody else remember anything about Moses? He did split the sea. You're absolutely right. Do you know what he was doing when he split the sea? What was going on? Do you remember why he split the sea? He was actually leading the people across dry land. That's one of the things that we read about in the adulthood phase of Moses. And so I'm going to give you guys a little history, and this is the childhood part. In that day, the Jewish people were actually slaves to the Egyptians. The Egyptians had power over them. They told them what they had to do every day. They told them what time they had to get up. Now, the Egyptians didn't let them go to school. They woke them up every single day and said, "You got to go to work. You go work with the grown-ups. You go make bricks. You go move stone. You go dig holes." So the Egyptians told them every single thing that they had to do during that day. And the Egyptians have what they call a pharaoh. Any kids know what a pharaoh is? Oh, I seen it. What's a pharaoh? That's exactly right. He's kind of what we think of as a king. He is the guy who is in control of everything. And if he says that this is what's going to happen, it happens. And they execute his word to the T. Well, in Exodus 1:22, we're going to find out that the pharaoh, who's like a king to us, he ordered all of the firstborn babies to be thrown in the River Nile. Not a very nice king, wouldn't you say, guys? And so, because of this, Moses' mother kept him hidden for 3 whole months. Nobody even knew that he was there. She kept him hidden. She fed him. She clothed him. She kept him safe. But she had to keep him hidden because she did not want her baby to just be thrown in the river. And so then when we look on, we go over to Exodus 2, verse 3. And it tells us that after about 3 months, when she could not hide him any longer, she made a basket, she covered it with tar and pitch, and she placed her baby in it, and she set him in the reeds. Now, as baby Moses was laying in the reeds, the Pharaoh's daughter, or the king's daughter, saw Moses in the reeds. And she ordered that Moses be drawn out of the water. So of all the babies that they were throwing in the water, the king's daughter had mercy. And for some odd reason, she said, "Draw this baby out of the water." Now, one of the maidservants for the Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was only a couple months old at this time. He was just over 3 months old, as far as we understand, 3 to 6 months. So the baby still had to be nourished. He couldn't dress himself. Maybe Moses couldn't feed himself. And so one of the servants of the Pharaoh's daughter actually went and found Moses' mother. And she got to nurse and take care of baby Moses until he was old enough. And then she had to present him back to Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses actually grew up with a single family home. He had a stepmother who was the Pharaoh's daughter, raising him from the time that he was very young all the way through his adult years. Now, right now, God had already taken Moses, who was supposed to be a slave and supposed to be dead, and he put him in a position of power because the Egyptians weren't slaves. As a young child, God had already promoted Moses to say, "You're going to do great things." And so he moved Moses immediately, and because of that and because of everything that was going on, he was put in a position to not be treated as a slave. Now later on, we find out that Moses had to flee Egypt. And he went away, and it wasn't until the cries of the Jewish slaves went up to God that Moses actually returned. And when he did return, once again, Moses now became the leader of the Jewish people. So God saved him from a river. God saved him from the death. God put him in a position as a young child of power and respect. And then as time went on, God had to develop Moses, and he had to grow his faith. And then he brought him back because of the cries, and he actually was the leader of the Jewish people. And as this young man said earlier, Moses led the people out at that point in time. And all of these great things came from a child who was supposed to be cast away. Now, children, I'm going to tell you today, I'm an encourager. So I'm going to let you know, God has the same plans for you guys. Okay? You might be a little child, but he's a big God, and he can do great things for you. So we're going to move on to a second one real quick. Moses was probably the longest one that I have to talk about this morning. Have any of you kids heard of Joseph? Even grown-up kids. Anybody know who Joseph is in the Bible? I got one in the back. Had the coat of many colors. Anybody ever watch VeggieTales? Grown-ups, youngsters? Remember Joseph? He had all the brothers. He was the one who the brothers didn't necessarily like, and he got put in prison. So I'm going to cover that just a little bit about his youth. Joseph had a really, really rough childhood. He grew up in what our families call a dysfunctional home. But for you kids, he had a lot of trouble at home. Joseph's father kept many secrets from his mom. That was a very, very bad thing. Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons. So imagine having 11 brothers and sisters. Any kids struggle with sharing your toys now? A little bit? And you probably got what? One, two brothers and sisters? Imagine if you had 11 brothers all trying to share the same dump truck. Okay? Probably make for a rough day sharing the toys. So there was a little bit of jealousy going on there. And to make things worse, Joseph was a gossiper. He was always spying on his brothers. He was always saying, hey, did you know this? Did you know that? And it got to the point that Joseph's brothers actually wanted to kill him. But they didn't want the blood on their hands. And I feel that that's a moment where God had stepped in. And God was keeping Joseph for a purpose. And so his brothers didn't want to have their blood on his hands, so what did they do? They sold him to a whole other country. Joseph was gone. They said, you know what, we're not going to kill you, Joseph, our brother, but we're just going to ship you off. And we're going to tell Dad a lie about what happened to you, but we're going to ship you away to a whole other country. And while he was there, Joseph let himself be in places he shouldn't have been, and he ended up in prison. Now, out of all this, we know that Joseph had a rough childhood. He was beat up. He was sold. He got put in jail. So we see all these things happening, and we want to go, how was God making young Joseph blessed and doing great things? Well, Joseph had a gift, and God had given him this gift for a long time. Anybody know what the gift is? I'll take a grown-up hand. Do you know? No. Well, that's something that he had. Do you know about his gift? He had the ability to do something. I'll take a grown-up hand. Your kids, too. Anybody know? Interpret dreams. Absolutely. So while in prison, Joseph's ability to interpret dreams got known to everybody. So this is a guy who had done something wrong, and they put him in jail. And next thing you know, the king's having dreams. And the king's looking around, and none of his wise men were able to interpret the dreams. Somebody spoke up and said, hey, I know this guy. I know this young guy down in the dungeon. He can interpret dreams. And he's been doing it for the other people when they have dreams. So the Pharaoh sent for him. And he pulled him all the way upstairs. And when he had done this, he was able to properly interpret the king's dream. Okay? And the dream was about a drought. They were going to have 5 really good years, and then they were going to have a drought for 5 years. And Joseph was able to interpret this for the king. And do any youngsters know what a drought is? A drought is when it doesn't rain for a long, 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 long time. And the corn doesn't grow, and the soybeans don't grow, and the grass doesn't want to grow. So if you got cows, they're not going to have much grass to eat because it's a drought, and it's just dry. It kind of wants to turn into a desert. But Joseph's gift of being able to interpret a dream helped all the land to have food even when the drought came. Now, eventually, Joseph's brothers Everybody remember, these are the same guys who told Joseph he had to go to another country. And they sold their brother off. Eventually, they had to come back to Egypt and get food. Because they had the drought. No food was growing. And they came back, and because of Joseph's gift, he was able to not only make sure that all of the people had food in the region, even when his brothers came back, he was able to have food for them. And not only did he help them to get food, he forgave them. And if you kids ever have somebody bump into you or hurt you and they say, oh, I'm sorry, and then you forgive them, maybe. Sometimes it's not hard to get mad, okay? But it's a bigger godly person when we're able to forgive somebody. And that's what Joseph did. He not only had the gift of dreams, he had the gift to be able to survive all of those things because God had a purpose. But he was able to forgive his brothers for selling him to another country and made sure that they had food. He did all of this because he knew God had a plan for him. And I'm going to tell you all kids and grown-up kids, God has a plan for you. Little child, big God, great things. So I'm going to cover number 3 of 4 today. This is probably the tricky one. Timothy. We don't get to talk about Timothy a whole lot. Anybody got anything special on Timothy? Okay, I'm going to give you a little background. Timothy came from a divided home. This is another different example of different childhood of kids in the Bible. His father was an unbeliever. He was a Greek. So he worshipped many different gods. It might have been a cow one day, might have been a statue the next. Like all the different things that the Greeks were worshiping at this time, his father did. Now his mother and his grandmother were the only two Christians in his entire life. I can relate to this. Growing up, I had one grandmother who was a Christian, and she taught me many things. And it was because of her faith and things that she shared with me that I was inspired to go see what the church was all about. But young Timothy, he didn't let this get in the way of his faith. And if we look at Timothy 2, verse 1, scripture number 5, it says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded that lives in you also. Now, this had to be confusing for him, right? Because he had a mom and a grandma who loved God. And he had a dad who was worshiping idols and statues and all these different things. So I'm sure that if you was to go home and see dad bowing down in front of a horse statue and mom was praying to God, that could be a little confusing, okay? But mom's faith and grandma's faith, the faith of a strong woman, was able to overcome all of that, and they kept him strong in his faith, and Timothy didn't give up. Of the two people that he had in his life that had loved God, those were the ones that stuck out, because God is bigger than any idol. God is bigger than any other thing that we can worship. And not only did his faith grow, but after the apostolic age, Timothy actually became the leader of the church. He started as a young kid who had moms and dads who had no idea who God was other than the mom. And he grew up and he became the leader of the church. So, once again, we got a little child, we got a big God, we got great things. Now, I'm going to cover the last one, Luke. If you look at Colossians 4, number 11 through 13, I'll flip there with you guys real quick. Okay, this is about Luke. It says, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully matured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. So So we find out right away that Luke was a doctor. Until I studied this week and I learned how to not pronounce a few of those cities, I didn't know Luke was a doctor. But let me take a look real quick. Luke grew up as a Gentile. Anybody know what a Gentile is? You had the Jewish people, and then you had the Gentiles. Gentiles were non-Jews. They were not accepted very well by the Jewish people. And even after Jesus died, we struggled with Jews and Gentiles coming together for many, 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 many years. He was one of the first to become a Christian of great faith, and there was a lot of what we call racism between the Jews and the Gentiles. One judged the other, and the other criticized the other. But he became a man of great faith, and he became a doctor, and he became a great leader in the church. So once again, we see that Luke, a little child, grew big with a big God, and he'd done great things. So today I've kind of taken a quick look. I didn't want to go too long because our children may drift off if I go way too long. But I wanted to keep it simple and let you guys know that we've sat here today and we've seen kids who were put into a river. We've seen kids who are given away. We've talked about kids who were mistreated and sold away. Kids who had divided homes. Kids who faced racism. Kids who faced judgment. And all of these great things that they did began with little children. Their journey with God started with a big God who was looking out for them every single day. And God wants to do great things in their life. God was with them as they did these great things, and they cared for them, and they guided them, and they kept them safe to fulfill the kingdom. So children, I'm going to keep it simple. My lesson and blessing for you today is this. Every one of us, including our parents and our grandparents, is a little child unto a big God. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you, and he will always be with you no matter how you started. He will always be with you, and you will always finish great with God. Will you pray with me, kids? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us some insight that even as we grow big, that we began as little children to you, and it's you who grows us, and you who protects us, and you who gives us moms and dads and family and friends who want to help see your glory come on earth to protect us and to guide us. Please give us this knowledge as we go forth to further your kingdom, to be good mentors for our children, help them to grow up in the ways that please you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Now, today, if you have a prayer request, as the praise team is going to come up, the elders are going to be here. Kids, if you want something prayed for and you don't want to come up front, all you got to do is raise your hand, and I'm sure one of the elders would absolutely love to come to you and pray this morning. And one final note before we do start.